When I heard the name of your farm, Linda, my initial reaction was to break out in song. Ox and Robin, tweet, 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 ox and Robin, tweet, tweet, lady. Has anyone ever done that for you?
No, but you just did.
It doesn't sound like Rockin' Robin, Oxin' Robin.
It does sound like Rockin'
See?
Robin.
Now you'll never get it out of your head whenever you think about them. You should buy ads with our radio station, and that can be your jingle.
There you go.
It's time for our Local Hero Spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the Local Hero folks, and Linda Enerson from Oxin' Robin. In Montague, you are not growing crops. What are you doing?
I'm growing seed crops, but I'm not growing food crops for market. So it is a little different. They look different for the most part. Some of them look very similar to like a tomato. That looks, you know, you're growing it just like you would for market. When you've got a nice ripe tomato, it's perfect. You pick it, and instead of taking it to market, you cut it open and you take the seeds out and you ferment them. After a few days, like 5 days or so, you decant the ferment off and you drain them and you dry them. You know, it's processed differently, but the actual tomato looks the same. But a lot of these other crops, like lettuce, for example.
And you brought an example here.
I did.
It looks like you probably have like the creepiest farm because it looks like old, decrepit, breaking, crackly, ghost piece of lettuce. It doesn't even, I would not recognize it as lettuce.
You wouldn't recognize it as lettuce. In fact, I have a little bit of a funny story in that the first year I was in production, 2017, I rented from these very nice folks in Hatfield. They had an acre behind their house. I was growing a bunch of crops for seed, including some that really didn't look like a market crop. You've seen what the lettuce looks like with these little flowers that turn dry.
They look like little tiny pieces of cotton or something almost.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But anyhow, one day I came down to check on my field and start working, and it was mowed. And the folks that owned the house thought they were doing me a favor because I had all these weeds.
Oh my goodness.
But actually, in truth, you know, they didn't do a whole lot of mowing. They just did some to try to create some paths. So I still had a pretty good harvest.
Oh, well, that's good.
So you used a verb there, ferment. And I've never heard that being used with seeds, because I know nothing about seeds.
Is it just for preservation? Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, why do you ferment them? Wouldn't nature, or does nature naturally ferment them, and this is what they want to do as seeds?
So for some of the seeds, tomato seeds and cucumber seeds, they have a little gelatinous envelope around the seed naturally that inhibits germination. So in order to really have a seed that will germinate next year, you ferment them, and that sort of dissolves that little packet.
And how do you ferment them?
So I actually, you know, like old yogurt containers, I use those, and I put, you know, one variety, like you just cut up the tomatoes, you get out the seeds and the juice and separate that out from the flesh, and then usually I just cook up the, you know, the flesh, make a nice tomato sauce. And then the seeds and the juice, I ferment. And after, you know, you stir it like once a day. And after about 5 days, you've got this nice bubbly stuff that looks like a science experiment. And that's when, you know, you get to a point where you just kind of know when it's ready. And then when it's ready, you actually put more water in there. And then sort of the ferment kind of, you know, you pour that off and you're left with the seeds. It actually almost looks like millet at that point. You know, like cooked up millet. And then you put it onto some sort of, you know, a plate is usually what I use, but I make sure that all the water is off. Then it dries, and then they look like tomato seeds.
And then they come in these nice little packets that you've got here that you can, this is what I think of as seeds. I think that they fall off of every plant just like this, and you pick them all up and then put them in an envelope. But that obviously is a lot
more
to it.
Well, if you plant the seeds with the packet, then yes, you end up.
But you're putting them in the packet. And not only are you putting them in the packet, Linda Enerson from Oxin' Robin, which I can't not sing now, you are also artistically designing all of the labels, which are really cool and beautiful.
Thank you.
So this is what came first.
That's fun.
The art or the seed, the chicken or the egg.
Well, I've been an artist since I was little, and my mom was actually a great inspiration for this because she was a super good green thumb, and then she also was an artist. My sisters are also artists, so we learned a lot from her.
So what is different about seeds that are grown locally?
And this is actually kind of, I think, really kind of a central mission of my business, particularly with farmers and growers that don't want to put either their organic or their backyard gardeners. They don't want to use a lot of sprays. You don't have a lot in your toolbox when disease hits and when pests hit. it's important in each, you know, region. We've got our own climate and it's changing, and we've got our own little constellation of pests and diseases. And what regional seed producers do, what I do, is that I select the best plants, so the plants that resist those pests and diseases, that's what I'm going for. So all the other ones I pull out, you know, at the end of the season, they're in the ground for a long time because they have to get to seed. But they are, you know, they're pretty hardy and they're resisting what we've got in this area. That's why regional genetics is actually really helpful, particularly for organic gardeners and what they call low input systems, which a lot of backyard gardeners.
You're genetically modifying, but in the good way.
It's traditional plant breeding.
Yeah,
it's like Gregor Mendel. You know, you ever read about Gregor Mendel in grade school or middle school, you know, selecting and breeding plants. Those are the time-honored ways of selecting and breeding plants. Many of them are heirloom varieties that have been going on for years and years. So this is, you know, this.
So you're an archivist
timeless.
As well.
Yeah.
It's like a historic, a history, which I think that's what I love about like learning about seeds and their importance.
Yeah. So you mentioned about how they can be hardy. They work better in the local environment. What about taste?
Well, that's why I really like the heirlooms. You know, things like the tomatoes, you can't beat heirloom tomatoes for taste. Oh, there was a heyday of traditional plant breeding in like the 40s, 50s, 60s. And then like over, you know, the next few decades, it kind of went underground. It was almost a lost art. I mean, the land grant universities were doing it, but the number of varieties that you could get through the big seed companies were getting smaller and smaller.
As
and
the now, seed companies got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right. Putting and, patents on their seeds and suing you if you accidentally get some in your field, that kind of thing. And Monsanto, excuse me.
This is the opposite of that. It's, you know, trying to increase that diversity and get these some of these varieties that are great varieties back out, you know, so that people are enjoying them and eating them both in the markets and, you know, on the table.
I'm kind of curious. So this is in some ways a new old vocation for you. And I'm kind of curious, what are some of the challenges that you needed to learn about as you dived into this 5-10 years ago?
I have no soil where I live. I live up on the top of a hill in Montague where the glacier receded and it just dropped a whole bunch of rocks. So they're like heifer size rocks in my yard. But I had cows, and they had, you know, they produced a lot of compost. So I moved that around and made these raised beds, deep raised beds, and started growing a lot of plants. And then I joined about 2010 Seed Savers Exchange, which is this wonderful organization based in Iowa. And they have membership all over the world of all these people who are doing exactly what I'm doing. They're maintaining all these varieties that are, you know, ages old, some of them centuries old. And then they're exchanging them with each other every year, you know, like around this time, people are, you exchange, and they have this yearbook that is, you know, if you remember like what the phone books used to look like, if you think about the New York City phone book, that thick is pretty much what, you know, what the yearbook is. And very, very small print of all the different varieties that people are exchanging with each other. So through Seed Savers, I started, you know, getting the bug and became a variety junkie. And then also through Seed Savers and through another organization called Organic Seed Alliance, I started learning about how to do it well, because there is a lot to it. You know, there's the seed processing, but there's also for each species, you have to have a certain isolation distance and a certain population size, and you have to think about how to select. So it took a while, and I made a lot of mistakes. And then finally, like in 2017, I decided, you know, I'm ready to start moving this into commercial production.
I think it's amazing. It seems to me that you are like the librarians / historians of agriculture, the seed savers.
And seed savers,
as
yeah.
somebody that cannot grow anything via seed in Montague other than three children, I'm really appreciative of the fact that there's a little historical reference sometimes on the back of the label, and of course, a how to do this correctly. So where are your seeds available, Linda Anderson from Ox and Robin?
So they're available online at oxandrobin.com, and they're also available in a number of different stores around Hadley Garden Center, Greenfield Farmers Cooperative Exchange up in Franklin County, Quabbin Harvest out in Orange, Red Fire North, Simple Gifts, Uppingill, so a number of different farm stands and stores around the area.
Linda Enerson from Oxen Robin and Montague, and Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks. Buy local seeds and buylocalfood.org.